Well, hello. Welcome back to Of Guys Over Cigars. I don't know why I'm talking like this. It is I, Recon, and also...
Rhodey.
And me, Salazar.
Woohoo! Okay. So, we are back. It is... I don't know what the date is. I don't know why I'm even
it
saying
is
the date.
July 7th.
July
13th. I
no,
looked at the
13th.
Wrong.
It's
July 13th.
Go back in time.
You're like one of those old school watches that have like the
no,
like
it's
the calendar in there and everything.
Yeah,
it's got a date.
I'm
worried
about
those
LCD screen.
You have
watches.
Alzheimer's over there, Salazar?
Huh?
You have Alzheimer's over there? We go back in time.
Alzheimer's.
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 No, I just I looked at 713 and I thought, oh.
It's
July 13th.
That's our new, that's the headline for this episode. Mispronouncing time.
Mispronouncing, okay, fine.
Yep. Who knows?
See what else fucking crazy happens during the show.
Time is irrelevant.
Time is irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
You stare into the void. So, we got a little bit of an interesting show for you today, but before we get started, of course, because this is a cigar podcast also, we're going to talk about what cigars we have. So today, I am smoking on the Acid Big Bang, which is a, apparently, TAA exclusive, and I gotta be honest, I saw exclusive and I bought it, but I have no fucking idea what TAA means, so I'm not actually an expert with cigars, so we're probably gonna end this podcast because
Well, we're not a shit podcast anymore. We have an actual microphone now, so we are amateurs.
Oh, yeah,
we upgraded
a
little bit. Yeah,
let us know.
Let us know how the mic quality is.
Yeah. But anyway, Rhodey, what are you smoking today?
It's technically a Hoyo Excalibur, but you gave me the darker variant of
it.
It's already fucking amazing.
Maduro. I think it's a number 2.
Yep, limited edition.
Yep.
This thing is handmade, apparently, and it is kicking my ass already. I'm actually enjoying this.
Excellent. That's very good. Very good.
I love them thick and dark.
I am smoking a 724. Gifted to me by Mr. Recon over here, very generously.
That is like the number one cigar in all the magazines right now. That's
it
the
is
Lancero.
It is quite elegant, I must
you
say.
Like
it comes in a sleeve and
it's
a very clean smoke. There isn't any harshness.
Salazar's in love over there. He's just making out with the
it
cigar.
It is really good. I had one last week.
Very clean tobacco. You can definitely tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a better quality than most.
In New Hampshire. Well, it's not made in New Hampshire, but it's by somebody in New Hampshire who's a working class guy, and he's number one in the world for cigars right now. So, shout outs to
724.
Yep, 724.
Woohoo!
Today, a few things to talk about pertaining to. Geez, we've got a few things. The meltdown with the Trump baby balloon.
What, that disappointment of a balloon that was like the size of what?
So, did Poll ever get it? Did Poll ever pop the balloon or no?
I didn't see it. I was waiting. I didn't hear nothing. I don't know if that was bullshit. Or
well, he's
going to
be there for a couple of days.
Might have been just poll trolling.
I mean, they did so good with He Will Not Divide Us, Cam, though, and Shia LaBeouf. Remember when they destroyed everywhere they went? He was like tracing jet patterns to see where the flag was blowing, so they found it in a field somewhere in a shack, and they were stealing it.
You got to remember, the UK doesn't even allow BB guns. They couldn't pop it traditionally. They're going to use mirrors and be like, okay.
But drones. Drones are still legal.
Don't you need a license for a drone, mate? Don't you need a license for that?
You
need a license for that,
mate.
That's the ass meme of Europe right there, UK. The license. Ever since Mr. Mediocre, how do you say his name?
Medicare.
Did that. He got so many salty Europeans on that video. I was laughing my ass off.
Poor UK.
Yeah, you had mentioned that, Salazar, in the chat. The sad
reality
of all these main capital cities across Europe.
Yeah.
That's very unfortunate.
London used to be such a great city. To be the new Rome. It used to be the center of trade where everybody would go.
Yep.
I mean, it still technically is, but that's... I mean, those economical elites are far stretched from the common people that live in England. They probably don't even see them.
Don't they have an inner city of England? Like that small little...
Yeah.
It's like a Vatican-type city style.
That's the city of London.
Yeah,
that's
it's quasi-city.
That's what it's actually called.
A
city-state
within a city-state.
And then outside of that is the metropolitan area of London.
Two different places.
Old London town.
All the old nobles of the old English go up there, and all the peasants are around them, and they don't give a damn. They just sweep them aside.
Yeah, the nobles.
The nobles. The peasants.
The nobles. We got so much resources we can hide in our weeks and never come down.
I was kind of discussing this with Recon and Salazar on our way here. England is not even a constitutional monarchy. Like, that's what it was. Like, how many decades ago was this, supposedly? Like, when?
Last time? I don't know.
Like,
1800s. We're not history buffs on the show. I mean, well, actually, excuse me. Well, our friend Salazar is actually a history buff.
Not with English.
Nah, England's its own
Portuguese,
animal.
Portuguese, Roman, things of that nature, he's a beast at, so he's actually got some history stuff he wants to pull out of his history book hat.
England, I know a bit about, but I don't know much about their government history. I know they went through changes through the War of the Roses and all that.
Yeah.
That's my dear cousin over there who would mention that, since it was tied to France. You know how he is over there.
Yeah. I mean, the War of the Roses was a very prominent war in England. It was something that needed to happen. It was a big war between all, I think it was three houses, right?
House York and Lancaster.
Yeah.
And I think there was another one, but I don't remember off the top of my head. It was the Yorks and Lancasters, the red and white roses.
Those were the two big factions, the Yorks and the Lancasters.
At some point, I want to discuss. I was just thinking about this. I don't know why it just popped into my head. I think it's because I have an old friend who. Okay, tell you guys a little story. Story time. So,
everybody gathered around Papa Recon.
When I was younger, and I didn't actually know this at the time, and I didn't pay any attention to it, when I was younger, I used to hang around with a group of kids in Woodyville there, and we'd drive around in our bikes and stuff, and, you know, we did degenerate shit. I'm not even lying. Like, once in a while, they'd smoke weed or whatever.
We didn't.
I really didn't do it until later on when they had actually disbanded. These kids were like proto alt-right, okay? They would go around beating up gang leaders. They were an anti-gang gang, okay? And they would go and find gang graffiti and spray it out and draw swastikas and put white power over there.
Hell
over,
yeah.
Over the,
where was that?
This was in Woonsocket. And they would then leave their little, like, signature, because they were all, like, fans of cartoonists, and so they were good at drawing. They're called from this family of, like, their mother was an excellent, like, artist. So they all had this gift, even though they all hated art. And it was this gas mask squirrel with a chainsaw. And they would draw it on everything. Like Pepe the Frog is to the alt-right today, was this thing. And they would do it next to their white power stuff, and they'd go beat up all these Mexican and black gang members. And they did this in Woonsocket for a while. A few riots that were caused at that autumn. The one was at Autumn Fest.
There was a riot.
There was two riots that happened at that St. Mary's Carnival that takes place on Park Ave on the corner.
Next to Stop and Shop, right?
Yes.
That little fucking.
There's been multiple ones caused by them in the past by that. Anyway, we used to go out there and they used to sing. I used to be on riding their pegs and they'd be singing that song from American History X. We washed our hands in. We're in a public space. I'm not trying to use the swear terms here. But very explicit words. I'll leave it at that. And you guys know what song I'm talking about from American History X. If you're listening to this, probably you do.
And if you haven't watched the movie, do so.
Yes, it's a very good movie. Because ultimately it shows what happens when you cuck out. Because then he cucks out at the end and his brother gets smoked by a black kid anyway. So,
yep.
So like, it really, it doesn't really do any point. But. Anyway, flash forward to today. One of the brothers is a total bug man. I mean, like, to the point where he's got signs going to Pride in Providence with rainbow-colored, like, goo and, like, candy goo that's rainbow-colored that he, like, eats. And he's got pictures, like, smiling while he's injecting, like, rainbow goo into his mouth. And, like, something about the I'm not too familiar with Game of Thrones. The family that commits incest in Game of Thrones, the Lannisters.
Yeah, the Lannisters.
And also
that's
the,
why when you said Lancaster,
well, the Targaryens.
He's got like racists are like the Lannisters, and he's smiling at this communist, pro-communist thing. And now that little square with the chainsaw has a communist symbol next to him in everything he draws. So this is just the mentality of these modern liberals. Okay, is that a lot of these? And I'm not even doing the Democrats are the real racist thing because most of them, I don't buy that. I don't buy the DR3 thing personally, but a lot of them, if they were put in an environment where they were surrounded by diversity, they would have a different opinion. once they move out into the wilderness and they're alone in more upper classy woodsy areas, they will all of a sudden forget who they were and go off on this communist tangent, pro-gay, pro-everything, because they don't get affected by that shit.
They don't get it.
They're going to gay pride. They're not living in the city. No. So they're going to gay pride once a friggin' year to get things. So they're all cool. They're all fun. Yeah, take some pictures. Yay, beads. And I don't know why that reminded me of it, but it really pissed me off because these people were radical, considering for the time. And to have to see him do that is just the most cucky thing. Bug man, cut that stupid fucking beard and the stupid fucking bulgy eyes. And
maybe we should hold an alt-right rally in Woonsocket somewhere.
Yeah, maybe someday.
Yeah, right in the park.
But yeah, so anyway, you guys were talking about the war.
It's a personal story. It's okay. We all have.
But yeah, so the War of Roses.
I mean, we really don't know much too about it. It's more like, I know the basics, that it was just two main houses. One was in France, one was in England. They were trying to separate one another or just fight over it.
No, both of them were in England.
Oh, they were?
The problem was both of them had some claim to the throne. Because the king had died with no heir, I believe.
Oh, wasn't this the when Joan of Arc appeared, apparently?
No, Joan of Arc was during the 100 Years
War. Okay, okay.
Was funded both sides.
I wonder by who. Hey, to be fair, Joan of Arc, she was a stellar woman.
Yeah, and she was burned at the stake.
Like a witch, unfortunately. God help me. God will save me.
No, but she's seen as a national hero in France, as she should, you know.
She's like a saint, isn't she, though?
Pretty much, actually. She united the French people under a common banner.
I mean, you think about this. You have some wide-eyed bitch come to you, and she's like,
Mary peasant.
Told me
I mean, at first, they didn't know she was a lady.
She hit herself pretty well.
She,
until someone peeked on her. That's a nice ass for a guy. What?
Yeah.
Ah!
That's the French. Yeah. That's the French for you.
Oh, my God.
Niggas in the public photo.
Oh, jeez. We're getting shit on for that.
Just a joke.
Just a joke. We love you, French.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Love your mustaches.
Yeah.
Pencil mustaches.
A croissant, baguette.
Hey, say what you will, French cuisine is known worldwide as the best.
Oh, yeah.
Mediterranean
cuisine in general is the best.
Come on, yes, come on.
Speaking of the French, Trump go to that NATO summit recently? Was that in Germany I'm thinking about?
Yeah.
That summit. We were going to discuss that.
Yeah, we're
going to
talk
about
that.
Well, since we're in Europe, anyway, we'll talk about it.
The summit in
Brussels?
Oh, Brussels?
It was in Brussels.
Yeah, because that's where the NATO headquarters
Brussels
is.
Because fucking Belgium's not a real fucking country.
No.
It's all
Belgium is
a bunch of
part of. It should be part of the Netherlands. It should either be part of the Netherlands or France.
Isn't it technically German territory, too?
No.
Belgium? No.
I think Brussels is more close to the line to France. There's Flanders and France?
I'm
obscure about this stuff.
Belgium is...
I thought that was the line, though.
What?
Like, that they had always drawn and had an issue with France on. Was like
no,
that,
that was the Rhineland.
Oh, the Rhineland. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah. The river Rhine... The river Rhine was the border for the Roman Empire from the German barbaric tribes. Because it's a massive river. It's huge. And it's very deep. Incredibly hard to cross it.
Interesting. Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah, this is where Brussels
is. Hold on,
before we
go to that, we did want to finish what you had initially stated about the monarchy, and I do know about the monarchy. So initially, the monarchy started off as just a monarchy. Monarchies were feudal monarchies. They're very common in Europe, throughout all of Europe, and they were essentially upholden to the church and common law. Now, the serfs and the peasants had their place in society, and the kings and the lords had their place in society, and this greater law governed how they acted. As time went by, and divine right of kings started to get popular, and then they got this absolute monarchies, which it got really ridiculous. I mean, the kings would just tell you what to do. If they told you, you're going to prison, you're going to prison. It didn't matter. That caused a backlash, which is essentially what we know as democracy today, came out of this constitutional monarchy in which the common man and the lords got together and put the king
in
under this constitution in which he couldn't do certain things.
Yeah.
Eventually, that constitution grew over the king's authority until you have the fucking Queen of England today, which is literally just
a
money waster, a figurehead.
I mean, I've said this before, but even the British people don't really like the whole royal family, because they are essentially just
the Kardashians.
They are the Kardashians of the
Yeah, but they actually have some authentic place though, like the Kardashians, who are artificial here in America.
That's true. They do have some.
I do give them credit.
Tradition by bloodline reason to be there, but
the house that Queen Elizabeth is actually from is House Hanover,
really,
which is a German house.
Ooh.
Wow.
Germans are really old English. Disgraceful.
Queen Victoria was she was from House Hanover, I believe.
This was the original Queen Victoria, right?
Now, most of these traces were erased during World War I because they had the whole anti-German.
Oh, yeah, especially here in America. The German language disappeared overnight,
yeah,
essentially.
Exactly.
Oh, no, we're not German.
I'm sure, this was taught in high school, you know.
Yeah.
German was heavily segregated against in World War I. You know, they kept these people to their own their own states, their own counties, even. I mean, back then, there were even states that spoke predominantly German in America, like
Midwest.
Yeah, the Midwest was predominantly German speaking.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's true. Very, very true.
Nothing wrong with speaking German just because you like the Kaiser.
No, that quickly faded.
Yeah,
hail the Kaiser.
But
all ties to House Hanover were kind of swept under the rug during World War I.
Of course.
I wonder why. Didn't Hobbes discuss that in his how the Monarchy of the God that failed, how Europe was like dismantled, the monarchies
the
anyway.
The monarchies were dismantled during World War
I. I know
that
people say, oh, it wasn't about that.
Indeed, that was a primary focus.
It
that
was the focus.
That's why all of them were scared that a big war would break out.
Yep. And so
it happened.
And so
to be fair, Austria has all the blame for this. Because had Austria declared war on the first couple months, all the powers would have been okay with it. They even encouraged Austria to do so, but Austria waited. And the longer they waited, the more people stopped sympathizing with them. Because, you know, everybody stops caring after a while.
Yeah, mongering.
Well, but the people that assassinated the Archduke,
right?
That's what actually started it all, right? It was the Archduke Ferdinand got assassinated.
Yeah, by the Serbian nationalists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Black Hand.
But guess what?
Don't tell me.
If I'm not mistaken, the guy that actually pulled the guy that pulled the trigger. I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty certain I've heard the J-pilling on that situation, and that it's not actually. They blame it on a Serbian, but he's not really a Serbian. He's a member of the tribe there, and he has connections to all kinds of bankers and financial groups that wanted him to start this off. Because if you know, Israel got a huge. All the things got in place for England to purchase that land around Palestine. That started after World War I. England went in and took parts of Palestine. That was the first step to gaining Israel.
England already had lands there.
Yeah, they added more.
They already took a large area. There was already Jews moving into those lands anyway, slowly on their own. They had already moved in.
And Syria was under French control.
Yep, true. But the people that organized this treaty were all Jews. This is another thing. The treaty that was organized for that to be part of the deal were Jews. The treaty, what was the name of the treaty again of World War I?
Young Bosnia,
Treaty of Versailles?
Yes.
Versailles.
Like all of the major hands.
Okay, he was assassinated by Gabriel Princep.
All coming together.
I mean, the Treaty of Versailles paved the way for the Second World War.
Of course it did.
Yeah, this guy. This is the guy who assassinated the Archduke. Except what the fuck his name is. Looks Jewish. Sorry, Rico.
I could be wrong.
Young Bosnia. That's the group that he was a part of.
Yeah, I think that was purely because at the time Serbia was under heavy Austrian influence.
Well,
I mean, it was still an independent country, but they were still trying to
exert
their influence. Austria was still trying to exert their influence on Serbia.
So, I could be wrong about that. Just me being Jew paranoid.
Whenever you see coincidence with the wars, you know the Jews are involved at
somewhere, finance. Of course. They got the
money,
most
money,
out
money,
of
money.
That war. What did we get? But actually, it's funny because the time that I spent... I didn't say this last episode. The time that I spent in California, I watched a movie called Goodbye, Christopher Robin. Which is about the author that wrote Winnie the Pooh, right? And That is a good movie. If anybody has a chance to watch that movie, it's not about Winnie the Pooh. It's about what made that author, his post-traumatic stress disorder from World War One.
Yeah.
Write that book, and what he did to his son, Christopher Robin, and stuff like that, what that caused to his son by getting him famous like that. It's a good book, and let me tell you, he's very anti-war in that movie. And he says, now what happens? A million other non-archdukes die at the hands of everybody because a bunch of elites in this country are going to pay for what they did to the common man by sending them off to go die in a war for no reason at all.
I mean, World War One was such a useless and brutal war.
And they made it like it was the last one, the war to end all wars. And then what happens? World War Two, how many
25
years later?
25
years?
At least.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It was called the Great War because at the time it was the Great War. It was the holy shit. This is the war that encompasses the globe almost.
And you had that weird, that certain weird aura about World War One because it was like you still had some semblance of the old military honor systems. You still had like people wearing knight's armor while they're carrying like machine guns because they were still like learning all this new tech.
Yeah.
And so you had like the heavy gunners in Italy were like, they can actually play as them in Battlefield 1. The heavy gunners in Italy, they would wear like thick plates of like armor.
Italy was the first one to have a special forces unit. They called themselves the Ardati.
Ardati.
Which basically they were the bravest soldiers. They would get the best pay, and these soldiers were equipped with grenades and such. And their main focus was the infiltration of trenches. They had shotguns, close range weapons, and they had breastplates as well.
Very, very, very.
Sounds
thing.
Very
you know, World War One.
It was a melding of old and new.
Yeah, it
there
was,
it is.
It was.
The Adati. That's a nice symbol right there.
Yeah, it is. The skull and the crossbones.
Yep, the Adati.
That's cool, and you know, I don't know if you remember the Christmas incident. That happened when they all came out of their trenches. They never wanted to see that again.
Yeah.
They came out of their trenches and celebrated Christmas together.
They made that like a martial law that if they did that again, I mean, let's be honest here. If all the troops did that again, they wouldn't do anything.
No, they wouldn't.
Back then, there was because
mutiny was on the theater. All the years of those wars, there were mutinies from soldiers left and right.
Especially
and
in France.
All the great powers knew this. I mean, just how could you not be? If you had seen France after the war, how could you not be? France, most of the war was fought in France, okay? You have to realize that the Germans were very close to Paris at one point.
Yeah.
Verdun. That's the name of it, right? The
I mean, they were kicking ass, but the French were fucking stubborn. Their fucking lines.
They were losing men, but
they
kept replenishing.
They were stubborn in fucking World War. They were stubborn in World War II also.
Yeah.
Hitler, multiple times, as he was marching on to Paris, his initial intent was not to take over France. His initial intent was to push them back out, get rid of them, get push, go. As he pushed forward, though, he kept telling them, offering peace multiple times with all different kinds of powers.
Right, but the French are stubborn.
They're stubborn. Yeah. They waited until he was at Paris, and he was in Paris.
Yeah,
he was actually. He was watching the Eiffel Tower. The film grade. He was just watching it like.
And how many French soldiers willingly joined? By the way, there was no, you know, fucking Call of Duty World War II princess resistance. There was a resistance. Okay.
Wasn't that effective?
But it was not a big resistance. You know how many French soldiers willingly embraced Vichy France when it got taken over? Tons. Most of them did. Because they actually didn't disagree with a lot of the stuff that Hitler was doing. They saw what was going on in Germany. They liked to see the crime rate drops and people getting some time off to be mothers and all this stuff. They were losing that in all these other countries. These liberal democracies were failing people. You had people living in the streets.
I mean, the French people also didn't want war.
Of course.
They were sick of war. World War One. The Crimean War, Franco-Prussian War, you name it. Like
Napoleon.
Yeah.
I mean, Napoleon was a great conqueror.
But yeah,
for a while, until he went to Russia.
The greatest general in history. If I may be so bold, he was the greatest general in history.
I'm going to say that some of the Roman generals.
I would disagree with you.
I'm sorry.
What Napoleon did with what he had is absolutely astounding. The Battle of Austerlitz is nothing but a miracle.
And let's not forget, the only reason why he did it as a Frenchman is because he wasn't fully French, he was Italian too.
Corsica was part of France, but yeah, he did speak Italian. he did proclaim himself King of Rome.
Yeah.
Which he was.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pope even came to visit him in Paris, and he had the Pope kneel down in the mud and kiss his fucking boots.
Like, not bad for a short
Napoleon
man.
Napoleon was a man.
But,
he was also a nationalist. He was very first.
First. Of course.
It's always amazing. These great leaders that we talk about, these great conquerors, great commanders, they're always nationalistic. We want our people first. We don't want anything but our people to prosper.
Yeah, it's always the military ones, too. It's very interesting.
Well, they have enough.
That you have.
Never
everybody loved him. He was a war hero. He saved France during the French Revolution, you know?
He also beat back the English during the war of... after the Louisiana Purchase, he was fighting them, basically, and he sold off the land in North America to our government.
Yeah, he got along with Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was go with America. France was actually America, one of their...
biggest allies.
Because...
yeah, like, fuck the British. We're going to take them out, too.
90% of the gunpowder provided to us during the Revolutionary War came from France.
And, believe it or not, an unpopular thing is the Russians helped America greatly, too.
What do you think Georgia comes from?
Russians,
the name.
They were very historically aligned with America, very much. They were not our enemy for most of history like we predict them to be today.
That's only the modern era.
Russia was never... Russia, during the Napoleonic era, even, wasn't an enemy of Europe.
No. Because I still consider them a large chunk
they
of
were,
Russians
They were pressured by the British to go to war with Napoleon during the war.
Alexander I, right?
Coalition.
Wasn't he the Tsar at the time? Alexander I? Was it Napoleon's, like, brother-in-law or something like that shit? Like, it was very... never mind.
Maybe you're talking about his brother that was the King of Spain.
I think so. It was definitely over his brother. He betrayed him in a plot, but he forgave him like twice or some shit.
Yeah,
it was
the
very forgiving to family. Very forgiving.
Of course, that was one of his drawbacks. Mm. When you're put in his shoes, he was a very family oriented man. You know,
he fell in love with an older woman too. Go figure.
If you want to know a cool, I've read two biographies on this man. I know everything there is to know about this man. I'm going to tell you guys a cool little fun fact here. When he was 16, he was at the academy in Versailles. He was training to be a naval officer.
Wow. Well,
believe it or not, he wanted to be a naval officer. That was his first career goal. But he excelled at math, like, ridiculously well. So they put him into the artillery corps. Now, when he was 16, he was walking around, and he went to the park. He came across this French hooker. Age of 16, mind you. She's like, oh, you ever done it? Yada, yada. He's like, nope. So he banged her right there in the park. And the French hooker later said that it was so good that she didn't even make him pay for it.
Wow, that's a manly man right there. Must have been all animal on her ass.
Well, anyway.
That's a nice little tip that makes
nice
Hugh Napoleon.
There,
Napoleon's sex life in our top.
No, Napoleon lost his virginity to a hooker in a park at night.
If I recall this too, didn't Napoleon look up to Nelson? He was the admiral of the English Navy at the time.
He did.
Lord Nelson.
He thought that Admiral Nelson was a very skilled commander at what he did. That's why he didn't want he didn't really want to fight him. You know, he avoided the English Navy at all costs because Napoleon's goal was not to fight Europe. He just wanted to get France under control.
The trend.
Yeah.
Don't
Napoleon's
fight,
goal,
maybe.
Like he pleaded for peace with the powers so many fucking times. He pleaded all kinds of deals. He'd say, well, I'll give the Belgians independence if you guys just leave us alone, you know?
No.
But nope. It would not happen.
Agreed.
And the British, being so honorable that they are, the French Navy was actually at port on Egypt. Most of the French Navy was on port at Egypt, as you know. Yeah. Napoleon went on an expedition to Egypt.
Yeah.
What did the honorable English do? They blow up the whole navy at port.
The eternal Anglo always getting the fucking
exploitation.
They have
no offense, Anglos, we love you.
They have a nickname called Perfidious Albion. I mean, Perfidious Albion meaning that they're traitors, and Albion used to be a name given to England.
We have Albions around New England. Plenty of cities.
Aren't they called Albanians? Is that the I apologize for
Albanian,
that.
Albanians
I'm thinking
Albanians,
about.
Which is, I always get the I think it's the one of them we don't consider And see, the Armenians or the Albanians, they don't really consider white in the alt-right, not because of their racial background, but because of their control by Islam. For many years, they've become kind of like separate from Europe and very anti-white in their own way. There's actually some in America that have killed white nationalists because they didn't convert to Salafism, I think it's called.
I remember that story you told me about that recon.
Yeah, Adam Waffen. That happened in Adam Waffen,
actually. Oh, Jesus.
But anyway, that was epic history rant there. But,
we still got more history to keep coming here.
Yeah, we'll have more in the second half. We won't take one just yet. We're almost there. I do want to squeeze in what you had said.
The NATO summit right now.
The NATO summit.
Well, can we all have an opinion right now between Salazar, myself, and Recon? What do you think about NATO itself right now? Are we all of the agreed, the collective opinion here that it is obsolete, it needs to be broken apart because it really...
I mean...
It doesn't really matter now because it's
what was the original idea of NATO?
Russia.
To counter...
Soviet Union.
Russia.
Soviet Union, not Russia.
To counter the Warsaw Pact, right?
I'll hurt you for that.
To counter the Warsaw Pact, right? That was the original intent of NATO.
Yes.
There is no such thing anymore.
No.
There's
all the
only
Warsaw,
Russia.
All the Warsaw Pact nations
because
are part of NATO now.
All those other ex-Soviet states are more drawn to NATO. Even if they're not joined to NATO, they are more drawn to NATO.
Yes.
So when you look at it from Russia's perspective...
They have a bunch of people that they've been adding into NATO that don't even make sense, by the way. Like, you got
the
Turkey.
Baltic states.
Turkey.
Turkey actually wants to be a member of the EU.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Nah, I don't want... No.
Fuck no.
No,
what?
I want to use that as an excuse to
fuck
flood
the Turks.
Turkey.
Exactly.
Into.
Fuck the Turks.
No. No, and you know what? This is something that I saw actually in the same debate with Richard Spencer and Chase Rachels. He said this, and he said it's true. I visited Turkey. He's like, and there's this feeling when you walk in Turkey that it's ours, it's not theirs, and that we need to restore Constantinople.
Hell yeah, retake Constantinople.
It belongs to us. There's this feeling that you get when you walk in Turkey. The feeling of it is Europe.
I'm sorry, but Constantinople should have been given back to Greece.
It should have.
It's still European.
It's still European, but the
whole western half of Turkey is European.
Turkey doesn't even make sense where it is.
No.
It doesn't even belong. These people.
It's so dumb.
There.
They have the Anatolian Peninsula and then this little chunk on the
western half.
The Thracian.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense.
No, that's something I think, you know, as much as I'm not an imperialist, Richard is an imperialist, you know, and I know that Salazar.
Constantinople was a great city. I mean, they just came in there and they took it, you know? It was already a fully structured city. It was already in place. It already had irrigation system. It already had walls.
I think in that sense, though, I can actually agree with imperialism, because to me that's not really imperialism, because it's one of these arguments where you say, okay, if you're an invader into my land,
I want
historically,
it back.
And it's our land, historically. We fought for it, our blood is in it, bodies of
and
our
and you come in and take
the Hagia Sophia. It's a Byzantine structure.
And we take it back.
Yeah.
That's not the same kind of imperialism as going to Africa and setting up a colony, which I know you really don't really mind, but me personally, I don't. But I can agree with
you. Chinese don't mind now.
Yeah.
Because... To me, that's a property issue, which is that it does belong to us, and so we have a right to attack to get it back, because somebody's living on that wrongfully. Just as much people say, well, what about Native Americans? Do you feel that way? Yeah, I can see why Native Americans would want to fight to get land back. Therefore, the problem with Native Americans is that they didn't even consider a lot of this land their land until they united themselves.
And even then, when do you ever see the Native Americans come together? It's usually to protest something.
It is. Absolutely.
More money.
It's never to get more rights for themselves or to get a piece of land for themselves.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
More money.
And it's also interesting. There's Chief Snapping Turtle, who is a National Socialist Native American in America.
Yes, you heard that right.
Organization. The only one of its kind. Which everyone out, all the other ones, all the other national leaning Native American groups are communist groups. All of them. The only one that's, well, of course, right? Because they didn't even know what private property was when we got here. They had no clue.
Yeah.
We thought they did, because it was just common sense to us. So we go over here and we hand them some blankets, and they happen to be filled with diseases that we can't catch, and they think that everybody just genocided them intentionally. Because we give a shit.
Whoever thinks that, you're just a bunch of idiots.
I mean, it's just...
That's a personal thing.
There's obviously negatives, but every people has a negative. The problem is, whites kicked ass the most.
And we're hated for it.
That's all it comes down to, because everybody else had slavery, everybody else had conquest.
Whites enslaved each other for much of our history, too. Like, people forget this, like, whites enslaved other whites. It wasn't like, hey, we just created slavery.
I mean, just look at Rome. It was built on slavery.
The caste system, for that shit. Look at, even Greece. Look at Sparta, particular.
Yeah, look at Sparta.
Sparta was like the first, actually, explicitly, ethno-state system that was focused on that. And Sparta was about Spartans.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
It was about Spartans. Like, they were so stubborn to join with the rest of Greece. They didn't want to. They saw themselves as this unique.
Our own people. Leave us alone.
That was, you know what I mean?
And that's why they died off, because they secluded themselves from Greece way too much.
Yes, and they were Greeks. Absolutely, they were. It's unfortunate that they did that to themselves, because the point is that the Athenians had a point from the get-go of basically uniting Greece.
Well, it wasn't the Athenians. It was the Philip I of Macedon.
They were the old Macedon.
Alexander's father.
Oh, not New Macedonia. Didn't they make them change their
name? Yes, I said fuck that.
Alexander's father was the one that united Greece under one banner.
To be fair,
Philip I was actually the one that paved the way for Alexander's conquest. He remilitarized Macedon into this professional military that was unseen in the ancient world. He trained with the Sarissa pikes, which at the time were... I don't know if you've seen the very, very long pikes.
The phalanx formations?
The pike phalanx, which was extremely deadly. He reformed the army into that solely, and he reformed the cavalry into heavy cavalry.
Very scary cavalry.
So basically, the tactic that he developed was called the hammer and anvil. He would hold the enemy in place with all these pikes. They would charge at these pikes and just slaughter themselves. Nice big cluster, and then he'd take the cavalry, go around the flanks, and just keep bashing them into them over and
cycle
over
charges,
and over and
back
over.
And back.
Wow.
Hammer and anvil. Where do you think that tactic comes from, guys?
Well,
I mean,
I don't want to get too... We always get into this. Save some.
Yeah. Let's take a break here.
We're at
interesting
37
historical
minutes.
Topics.
Well, let's. I was looking at the clock wrong the whole time.
Yeah, that's okay.
So we're gonna take a break. You guys on the other side.
Hail Byzantium.
Hey guys, so this is Recon. It's just me right now for this second segment. I just wanted to let you guys know that after we had recorded part one, we had suffered some very odd shadow ban like difficulties with Anchor. We logged in on the original account and the account didn't exist anymore. And then we logged in the secondary account and it brought us to a brand new account that was totally blank with no info on it. I contacted customer support. They got back to me in 2 days. And apparently the second account all of a sudden has stuff connected to it now. So I don't know what the deal that was. Maybe it's just something going on with Anchor. Either way, I really appreciate their technical support for helping us out when that happened. Brian, you are a savior, my friend. They're very cool, despite it being a controversial podcast. So I would highly recommend Anchor for anybody who is trying to do a podcast for fun, that wants to get started in podcasting. Not to show too hard, because I'm not being paid. Being 20% Jewish and everything, you know, people are like, oh God, look, he's chilling, but I'm not chilling. They're very, very helpful. It's been very nice of them to syndicate us, even though we've been controversial, and we really appreciate it. But anyway, so the first part is pretty good. We didn't get to record anything afterwards, unfortunately, but we promise that episode 5 will be a complete episode next week. So again, we are sorry. Rhodey and Salazar are sorry. They were very upset. They were actually very fearful that they lost part one of this episode, because it is very good. We did a lot of good work on that episode, for sure. But anyway, we will be back next week, Friday to Saturday, depending on your time zone. And we appreciate all the listens and the views we've been getting. We hope you guys are enjoying the show. We have fun making it. And we will definitely get back to you next week. Alrighty, guys. Hail victory. Have a good one.
Step one, he says we need to talk. I walk, he says bend over, it's just a talk. I smile politely at the Jew. He pegs my anus right on through. Overt and window to my right, as it goes left and I stay right. Turn in my guns and feel ashamed. Gun crime is my fault, I'm to blame. Why did I believe the Jewish lies and cuck for all these non-whites? I speak the saddest words of tongue and pen. Now I know Paul was right again. Let you know that white is best. Dindus fail the IQ test. Kill some men in self-defense. Gentle giant innocence. Lay down a list of what is wrong. The things they told you all along. You believe the Hebrew, but I pray red pills can reach you. And why did I believe Jewish lies and cuck for all these non-whites? I speak the saddest words of tongue and pen. Now I know Paul was right again. As he begins to raise his arm, you raise yours. Cause overall you're Deutsch. Heil until your arm is sore and start another great war. He's kicking ass with blitzkrieg, ignoring what generals are thinking. Invade Russia, but that's insane. Next thing you know, he's blowing out his brain. Where did we go wrong? Our Führer's gone. We went too far with the Lebensraum. And I would have Sieg Heil beside the Rhine had I known how to save the Rhine. Where did we go wrong? Our Führer's gone. We went too far with the Lebensraum. And I would have Sieg Heil beside the Rhine had I known how to save the Rhine. Save the Rhine. How to save the Rhine. Why did I believe the Jewish lies and cuck for all these non-whites? I speak the saddest words of tongue and pen. Now I know Paul was right again. Why did I believe the Jewish lies and cuck for all these non-whites? I speak the saddest words of